Don't you appreciate these children helping us out as we begin to celebrate Palm Sunday today? And I was moved greatly because, Janet, we got into that first or second verse and it talked about the generation that's coming behind us. That's the generation. And we want them to indeed be people of faith. And so we are glad that they're here. Give these kids a hand this morning as they helped us out. All right. Thank you, Brett and Mindy, for bringing them in to us this morning. And so just an exciting morning. We're looking forward to a great day as we celebrate Palm Sunday.
Well, as we continue our worship this morning, greet one another.
Worthy to be praised in the Lord. So we lift up holy hands and
All right, just very quickly this morning, you'll find in your bulletin our guest slip. On the back of that guest slip, you will find the results of the annual meeting elections. And so that will give you the names of people who have been elected into office. And I need to meet immediately after service this morning. I need to meet with the Sunday school superintendent, the NYI president, and the missions president, and the six members at large, the six church board members. We will need to meet for an organizational meeting immediately after service. We'll meet back in Jenna's classroom back here, and we'll determine then our church treasurer and our church secretary and our meeting time for the year. So we'll do that as quickly as we can, but I do need to meet with you for a brief organizational meeting as we continue to organize. Easter Sunday is a little early this year, and so it's kind of throwing us all out of schedule on some of these things, and so we need to get that business taken care of. But congratulations to those of you who have been elected to serve in church office for the coming year. We appreciate your willingness to serve. Thank you so much.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to spring. How many have snow spitting at their house this morning? Yeah, welcome to spring. I know Janet still likes her snow, but to me, winter is past, spring is here, baseball season's right around the corner, we don't need any more snow. So, well, we do want to say good morning and welcome to you all this morning. It's so great to see you. I trust a lot of you have had a good spring break the last week or so. Different schools have had their spring break. We've had a lot of people out sick. I know we've got several of those that have been out for whatever reason back this morning, so it was so great to see you all. Quickly, if you would turn with me to your bulletin, we've had a lot of stuff going on. We still have quite a bit of stuff going on, so we just really briefly want to highlight some of those things. As Pastor just said, we are going to meet directly following service with the new board and the heads of those committees. Tonight, 5 p.m., this will be the last meeting for the SDMI committee of the old committee. Next month, we'll meet with the newly elected, but we do want to meet tonight at 5. If you are a part of my SDMI committee, please be here at 5 tonight for that. We, of course, have church and small groups this evening. If you're not part of a small group, would like some information about small groups, see myself, see Pastor. We can get you that information as far as that goes. Then this Thursday evening, Jennifer is holding a beginner sewing class. She's held several of these the last few months. If you want to be a part of that, that is this Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Everyone is welcome. If you'd like more information about what project or what they're going to be discussing, you can see Jennifer for that. This coming Friday is Good Friday. The church office will be closed for that holiday. Then Saturday, our men's prayer group will be meeting here at the, I believe, here at the church,
yes,
for breakfast. So there will be a sign-up sheet out in the Welcome Center to give us an idea of how many to prepare breakfast for, but that'll be 8 o'clock Saturday. And then, of course, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Following tradition, we will have an Easter breakfast from 9 to 9:45. Everyone is welcome for that. It is a continental-style breakfast, and we always have lots and lots of food. So be here from 9 to 9:45 for that. And then we'll have our actual worship service at 10, and then directly following service, we will have our Easter egg hunt for our children, sixth grade and under. A lot of you have already either brought in candy or filled eggs and brought them back. Please try to have all of those eggs back to us by this Wednesday, if not by next Sunday morning. We still have some empty eggs out in the foyer if you want to pick up a bag of eggs, fill them, or bring them back, or just bring some candy into the church office. We'd be more than happy to get those eggs filled by next Sunday. I've been given a note to ask you all if you have any of the missionary books that have been out in the foyer. If you have any of those at home, that you've had a chance to read, please try to get those back so we can give others an opportunity to read those books if they would so like to. So if you can remember it, get those books back as quickly as possible. And then again, we're focusing on our SB school for this month. We've got one more week through the end of March to be focusing on them to lift their faculty and staff up in prayer. So thank you very much.
Good morning. If any of you have not had a chance to do your faith promise, back by Ted on the sound booth are some papers if you would like to do that. And also, I have some notes to read. I haven't read any of these for a while, but I thought you guys would like to hear. This is from the donuts and pastries that we've been giving to the teachers. Members of the Nixon Nazarene Church, thanks so much for the donuts you provided the junior high faculty. It was so thoughtful, and the teachers loved them. And then this is one from Inman, and it says, thank you, thank you, thank you, bunches and bunches. And all the teachers just signed all kinds of little notes. I'll read one of them. Wow, thanks so much for the fun treats, for making us feel appreciated, and for the prayers, much needed. Something that I just love about these is a lot of them said, thanks for the prayers. We really appreciated the prayers. This one is from Matthews. Thank you for the delicious donuts and treats during parent-teacher conference week. It's so nice to have folks sending us treats, especially during weeks we have such long hours. And that's from Helen Matthews. And then this one was from Century. And the teachers all signed this. Century faculty and staff, so very grateful for your kindness. And then I got this picture this week, and it really made me excited to see it. Those of you that have made Evangia hats and are still making Evangia hats, here's a picture of four little boys in Peru, and I looked very closely to the hats, and I thought, I wonder if those are some of the hats we made. I don't think they are, because we do a different sequence with our colors, but those of you that do make the hats, somebody somewhere in the world is wearing one of the hats that you made, and I know that some of us are still making those and just enjoy making them, but I just thought you guys would like to see that.
It's exciting to see what happens on the foreign field when you have the opportunity to participate. And exciting what happens here at home when you have the opportunity to participate in our weekly tithes and offerings. So we'd like to have our ushers come this time to receive those.
Father, it is good to be in your house this morning.
Yes.
To worship you as family, Church of God. We thank you for the opportunity as we face Good Friday and the week ahead and think about your sacrifice on the cross, what you did for us. Our hearts rise up in praise and adoration. We just praise your name this morning. Bless this offering now, we pray, and this service. May we be refreshed and renewed and learn from your word this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Our God is great. nations we rise. There's no one like you. Stronger than you are.
grace to trust you more. Lord, I give you every soul. Lord, I give you all I am, all my dreams and all my plans. Now I place them in your hands. Lord, I give you all I am.
As we go to the Lord in prayer, we want to be mindful of those items that are listed within our bulletin. There are ongoing situations that are there, and I got a call this morning from Debbie Essery, my cousin, Cheryl's sister, and she has a granddaughter who went into labor 6 weeks early, and so they are very concerned this morning and would appreciate your prayers for Montana. And so if you would remember that this morning, we'd appreciate that so very, very much. And then we've been talking, there have been a lot of our folks that have just been going through all kinds of physical challenges for some time now. And one of those is Brother Daryl Garten, who is dealing with some health issues. And so we have talked to him, and we're going to ask him to come this morning. We're going to anoint him and to pray over these health issues. And of course, this is not an exclusive situation. And if you're here this morning, and I just wondered, now, Mary, catch me up. Is it this week that your sister's having?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Would you like for us to anoint you in proxy for her?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to come down and join Daryl down here. Mary's sister's been battling cancer, and we want to ask God to touch her as she's going through this situation this week. And I would invite any of you. Janet, can we sing maybe one more phrase, a line of that song? I would invite any of you that are here this morning, if you just would like God to touch you in a special way, and you'd like to be anointed and prayed for this morning, we're going to take time to do that. And so if these are here, and if you'd like to join them this morning, just come and join them. And then when we finish singing, we'll ask the rest of you to gather in around them. Pastor Don and I will lay hands on them and ask you to join us as we anoint them and to pray over them this morning. So let's sing maybe that last phrase, Mike, about the storms. Yeah. Let's sing that together. These altars are open. If you have other things that you want to pray about this morning, you feel free to just come and find a place to kneel at the altars. But if you'd like to be anointed, come and stand here by Brother Daryl or Mary, and we'll anoint you with oil this morning and pray over you specifically this morning as we pray.
Lord, I give you every soul. When my spirit's weak and worn, give me grace to trust you more. Lord, I give you every soul.
Lord, I give you all I am,
all my dreams and all my plans. Now I place them in your hands. Lord, I give you all I am.
Lucille and Daryl and Mary, if you'll step just kind of as close to the altar as you can, we're going to allow others then to come in and stand behind you. Give their encouragement. Pam, you want to come be with Daryl? We don't want you over there. Mike, would you like to come and be with Mary this morning? Now, we want you to understand that this oil doesn't contain any power. But the God who wrote the scriptures, inspired them, and told us to anoint people with oil, He's got all the power.
Amen.
Okay? And so this is just a symbol. Oil represents the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And we're asking God, because the Holy Spirit is His ministering agent on the earth at this point in time, as we place this oil on your forehead, it's just simply a request to God that His Holy Spirit come and touch us in a special way and to help us. And Mary, you stand in proxy of your sister this morning. And the cool thing about God is He's everywhere. And He can do anything, anytime, anywhere He wants. And so we yield to Him. We're going to ask for the sky. But in faith, we accept whatever His plan is and however He plays it out. Now, we're not going to play into the enemy's hand. And this is such a fine line when we come to this place to say, well, do I have enough faith? And there are people out there that say, well, if you don't get healed, you didn't have enough faith. You know, but there's a lot of people in Scripture that didn't get healed. And so our faith is in God. In God we trust. We trust in His plan. We trust in His wisdom. And we trust that if He wants to use us to go through suffering to glorify Himself, then we'll accept that faith. But we believe that Jesus died not only for our spiritual healing, but we believe He died for our physical healing. And so we go to Him in faith, believing this morning in obedience to the Scripture and what He said in James, to call the elders, to have them come that are sick, and to anoint them with oil, and indeed to ask God to bring healing into their lives. Now we're going to ask you to just lay your hands on each other's shoulders. Pastor Don and I are going to lay our hands on these folks and pray. Let's begin with Sister Mary here this morning. Mary, what's your sister's name?
Sue.
Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. And before we say anything else, we want to say thank You. Thank You for Your love.
Yes.
Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy, for Your forgiveness. Thank You for the plan of salvation. Thank You for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank You for a church to come to on a Sunday morning. Thank You for giving us the blessing of being in America where we don't have to hide, but that we can worship openly. And Lord, we come this morning, and Mary is here on behalf of Sue. And so we're lifting up Sue to You this morning as she's battling this cancer. Lord, this procedure that will take place tomorrow. Father, we know that You have created all wisdom, and You've created all the technology and resources and all that man has education for. And then, Lord, when man has gone the whole way that they can go, You do the incredible and the miraculous. And so, Lord, we're asking for a healing for Sue today. We ask that You'd heal her in spirit and in body. And Father, we pray that You would just fill Mary with Your Holy Spirit and give her the peace that passes all understanding. And let her minister to her family, Lord. There are a lot of issues there. And there's been a lot of things through the years for her family, Lord. Help her to be a ministering agent to them. Let the love of Jesus Christ flow out of her and bless her family. May she be a strength to them. May she be an encouragement to them. And may You use her as a channel through which You can flow into their lives and bring healing. And Lord, we just thank You for what You're going to do in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Brother Darrell this morning. Lord, some of the issues that he's been battling. And Lord, we just know that he's in the course of treatment now for some things. And Lord, You know exactly what they are and what all's going on. And Lord, we pray. We thank You for Luke, who wrote a lot of good stuff in the Bible. And then we thank You for the books that he wrote. And we thank You for his life as a physician. And Lord, we know that You thought he was an important man to put him in the Scriptures that way. And so, Lord, we know that doctors are important people. And we thank You for the resources that You've given us and for the people that can treat us. But Lord, ultimately, our healing comes from You, whether it's passed down through doctors or pills or machines or whatever it is, Lord. You ultimately are the great physician and the healer. And so we lift up Darrell to You right now and ask You to touch him and bring healing into his life and let him continue to be a shining example of Jesus Christ and His grace and mercy. Lord, just bless he and Pam. We love them. Appreciate them here.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would just reach down to him today. And may the hand of God, as the great physician, touch him and bring healing into his life, bring wholeness into his life, that he might continue to function at 100%, Lord, at the level that he'd like to function, doing the work of the kingdom in these years of retirement that You've given him and blessed him with. And we thank You for what You're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we ask it this morning. And then, Father, we thank You for bringing Sister Lucille our way.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray, Lord, whatever issues that she's dealing with this morning, whatever physical things, whatever emotional things, whatever it might be, Lord Jesus, we've not even had a time to specifically talk with her this morning, but she's come here in obedience to the call of the Holy Spirit to be anointed, to follow the Scriptures, to receive all that God has for her, to receive all the healing, all of the touch, all of the wisdom, all the direction that you would help her. Lord, we know that she's got children she's concerned about. We know there are things going on in her home and life, Lord, that she's just trying to let you have your will and your way. And so, Lord, we thank you for her testimony. We thank you for the prayers she lifted up on behalf of me and the other people of this church. And Lord, we want to be faithful to pray with her and for her this morning, that you, the great God of heaven, would reach down and touch her body and bring her the deliverance that she seeks this day. Lord, in faith she's come. And so in faith, Lord, we pray for healing today, that you indeed would grant these the desires of the hearts of these your children. And Lord, we know that you are able. We know you're more than able. And so we receive whatever blessing you have for us this day. And there are others kneeling at these altars and others standing around. Lord, there are things going on in their lives. Lord, I know that I don't think it's too big of a deal, but you know, I'm going to go in the hospital in the morning and they're going to go down my throat and pull things out of there, and that's okay. And they're good at it, and I trust it's all going to go well. But Lord, I'm sure glad that you're looking over me and watching after me. And Lord, I just pray you'd continue to bring healing into the lives of our people who've had recent surgeries. Think of Leo, who's home this morning. Those who've been going through knee surgeries, and thank you for all the recoveries. And Lord, there's been other surgeries that have happened just recently, Heather, and various other ones that have had procedures. Lord, we just pray that you'd put your healing hand upon them and touch them and indeed bring about the desired result that was intended by those procedures. And Lord, most of all, we pray that you would go in our hearts and that you would continue to speak to us. And Lord, just like we go to the doctor once in a while when we feel sick, Lord, when there's things that come into our life that are not like you, Lord, when the enemy maybe gets a foothold, we pray, God, that you'd bring it to us and that you'd surgically, spiritually, surgically remove those things in our life that don't look like you. And Lord, help us to be the church you want us to be. We thank you for the simulcast that took place this last week and those who participated in it. Lord, we just pray your blessing upon this church. May it continue to be a lighthouse to this community. And Lord, may we continue as individuals and corporately to believe that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. We believe in prayer. And Lord, we believe in you. And we receive this day, all that you have for us, in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. You're welcome. We love you guys. Appreciate you. Love you guys. Go ahead. I'm going to go over here by the rail where I can. Well, indeed, last week we had the privilege of receiving 10 new members, except one of them was gone. Spring break or something. Some vacation. But he's here today. And so, MJ, come and stand right between those two altars right there. I still can't get past that line of that song. It just struck me that because I didn't know for sure what we were singing this morning, and when that song came up, here are these little kids going around waving palm branches. And that word, those lines came up about a generation, you know, coming into faith. And that's part of what this is about, MJ. You're here on purpose to tell people that you love Jesus and that you want to follow his way. And man, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're here. The privileges and blessings that we have in association together in the Church of Jesus Christ are very sacred and precious. There is in it such hallowed fellowship as cannot otherwise be known. There is such helpfulness with brotherly watch care and counsel as can be found only in the church. There is the godly care of pastors with the teachings of the word and the helpful inspiration of corporate worship. and there is cooperation in service, accomplishing that which cannot otherwise be done. The doctrines upon which the church rests as essential to Christian experience are brief. We believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We especially emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ and the personality of the Holy Spirit. We believe that human beings are born in sin, that they need the work of forgiveness through Christ and the new birth by the Holy Spirit, that subsequent to this there is the deeper work of heart cleansing or entire sanctification through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that to each of these works of grace the Holy Spirit gives witness. We believe that our Lord will return, the dead shall be raised, and that all shall come to final judgment with its rewards and punishments. Do you heartily believe these truths? If so, answer, I do. You're passing so far. You're doing good. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And do you realize that He saves you now? If so, answer, I do. Great. Desiring to unite with the Church of the Nazarene, do you covenant to give yourself to the fellowship and work of God in connection with it, as set forth in the covenant of Christian character and the covenant of Christian conduct of the Church of the Nazarene? Will you endeavor in every way to glorify God by a humble walk, godly conversation, and holy service, by devotedly giving of your means, by faithful attendance upon the means of grace, and abstaining from all evil? Will you seek earnestly to perfect holiness of heart and life in the fear of the Lord? And what that means is, will you do your best to attend church as much as you can and give your life and your heart to the Lord and do whatever He asks of you? If so, answer, I will. That's good enough. I do is close. I will is good. Oh, you got it. You're on it. All right. Well, it is my honor, MJ, to welcome you into the fellowship of the church this morning. So, Ted, we're going to swap. One of these days, I'm going to jump down these steps. Who was it, Lyle Browberger? We took into membership or gave him a license or something. He jumped from the top step. I'm going to jump from the top step to the bottom. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? MJ, welcome into membership into the Church of the Nazarene. This is your certificate, and we are glad that you're here. I want you to turn around for a minute, because these folks want an opportunity to think about whether or not they want you to be a member of their church, okay? So we're going to ask them, okay? We're going to take a survey.
Ouch.
See, that's, I think it's unanimous. What do you think?
I saw someone not clapping.
They might not have been a member themselves. You never can tell. They're not all members sometimes. Anyway, well, we are glad, MJ, that you've come to this point in this decision in your life. And God will continue to lead, guide, and direct you. And we will continue to pray for you and to love you. And we're glad you're part of our family. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it just so happens that we had some other folks who came in last week, some by transfer. And so they're already technically members of the Church of the Nazarene. And so we just transfer their membership, and we're excited about them coming. But I also have some certificates here for Jacqueline. Where are you at? I have a certificate for you if you'll come and get this. Jacqueline also is one of our kids who's grown up here in church and indeed has made the decision to become a member and to be involved on NYI councils and various other things. And so we're excited for her and MJ. Isn't it great to have people who grow up in our church and we see them come to that point? And then I've got a whole pew full right here. Greg and Sue, welcome into the Church of the Nazarene. Sue, we are glad that you are here and glad to have you as part of our family. Welcome all these new members into our family. Off the pulpit mic until we get past singing here. In just a few moments, I'm going to share with you a message that is a Palm Sunday message in regard to the triumphal entry. And in this message, we'll ask you a question And so when I thought about this old, old song, because I'm an old, old guy, came to my mind. And so I got some other folks who know some old, old songs to help me this morning. This is an old song that says, "Do you know my Jesus?" And that's the question of the message this morning. Do you know my Jesus?
Carrie, I'm going to change the key.
That's okay with me.
It's way too low.
Okay.
Okay, for you.
You put it wherever I need it. And so we direct your attention to the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew and read to you that familiar account of Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem at the head of the Passion Week. And we do not have a scheduled Maundy, Thursday, or Good Friday service. So let me encourage you, if you have the opportunity, there are some of our sister churches here in the community that will have a Maundy, Thursday service on Thursday evening. They will perhaps have a Good Friday service on Friday evening. Let me encourage you to visit those churches and to participate in those. How many of you have ever gone to a live reenactment of the Last Supper and indeed participated in a foot washing in a Maundy Thursday service? I had the privilege of doing that at different times. It's a very moving experience and very humbling experience. And indeed, a Good Friday service, it's always important for us to be mindful, and I pray that you'll pause. Our church board voted a year or two ago to close the church office on Good Friday, and so Sue and I have the privilege of being able to have that day off and to be able to contemplate the meaning of that day. Some of you will have to go to regular jobs, and let me encourage you, maybe on a break time or on your lunch hour, or maybe you won't get a chance until you come home in the evening, but indeed to contemplate on Friday the suffering of our Savior. and what he indeed went through for us. And then as we in somber and serious thought consider all that Jesus did for us, let us begin to, with anticipation, go to bed on Friday evening and awake on Saturday with anticipation of Sunday, not because of continental breakfast, but because it's Resurrection Day and a day to celebrate what God has done. But all of that, this leads up to that and was a part of the process of God giving out his plan for Jesus to indeed give his life for you and for me. So we read from Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." And my message doesn't get into this particular part, but that's always fascinated me. You know, there are just certain points and places in the Scripture that where God is recognized without there seemingly being any preparation of that. There's times where God knows how to get done what he needs to get done. And so it's good for us to note that this morning. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And that comes from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." As I was praying and preparing, you know, there are certain points of the Christian calendar that as we share from them every year, when you've been in one place for 30 years, you say, "Lord, what is it that I haven't keyed on here yet? Or what is it that they won't remember?" And the truth of the matter is, I can't even remember what I preached on last week sometimes, so I think I'm pretty safe here, maybe dealing with this subject matter. But at any rate, the Lord brought to my mind the people that are a part of this scenario that we find. And as I was thinking about this question, it kind of leapt off the page at me, this question, "Who is this?" And then this old song, as I was praying, this song that we sang this morning, and I was in hopes and felt pretty confident that Steve and Janet would know that song, that song, "Do You Know My Jesus," came to me. And of course, I was also, I'm trying to prepare and trying to get ready for Easter Sunday, and I have a video that I play from time to time. Sometimes we play it year, and we skip a year or two in between. But there's a video by Pastor Lockridge, old black minister, that he asked several times, "Do you know him?" And as I was reading this passage, the thing that kind of jumped out at me is I saw that there were about three groups of people that are a part of this triumphal entry. And so I want us to consider for a few moments those three groups of people this morning. And the truth of the matter is, as we said in this service, I believe that every one of us, it's not just some messages are just for some people. You know, some messages, on some Sundays you go and say, "Man, I didn't get anything out of that." And somebody else will come to me at the back door and say, "Oh, that's the greatest message you've preached in the whole time you've ever been here," you know. And so I never know when that's going to happen. But God knows when he lays messages on my heart, he knows who on that given day needs to be impacted by that message. And I think there's always good. You can always, the word never goes out void. Everybody can always get some good from a message. But I believe that every person who sits under my voice this morning will fit in this sermon somewhere in these three groups. And so I want us to look first, just kind of in the order that as they come in this passage of Scripture, I want us to look at those people who really knew him. The people who really knew him. And so we look back and we find a couple of times referred to here the disciples. Jesus sent two disciples, and then we find down in verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. And the reason they did that is because they knew him. They knew that whatever he said, that's the kind of deal you could take to the bank, you know. And so do what Jesus says. And they knew him because they had spent some time with him, and they had been about 3 years now following him, learning from him, listening to his teaching, watching his ministry, see how he interacted with people. And so these men, the disciples, they've spent the night with him. They've had sleepovers. You know, they've talked into the wee hours of the morning, asking questions about how things happened and what things were about. And so they knew each other on a very personal level. And the question is posed a couple of different times to people who knew Jesus well. And indeed, if you look back to Matthew chapter 16 and you read through verses 13 through 16, you find this account. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. This is red letter stuff. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can you imagine what it would be like in the life of a Jew who knows the history of all that's going down and knows that there's a Messiah to come, a deliverer, someone who's going to be the person that we've been looking for all of our lives and back into the history of our people. And for those 12 guys to be able to say, "You're him." Do you realize how hard that would have been for them? I mean, think how hard it is for you when you think about something you've heard about all your life and it actually comes along and all of a sudden, I mean, have you ever just thought about inventions? Some of the conveniences that we enjoy? And you stop and think, wow, this thing happened. The truth of the matter is the advent of the microwave oven kind of happened for most of us in our lifetimes. And everybody who's here this morning, smartphones came to be a part of our culture while you were alive. Who would have ever thought that you could hold in your hand that much information and talk to that many people in that many places and get messages from all over the world in a matter of seconds? Now, back when we were kids, if somebody would have told us that was going to happen in our lifetime, we would have said, "No, that's Star Trek stuff. That's not going to happen." And there's technology, folks, that exists that's classified that we don't even know about. They're watching us. There's people in our government that watch us, know everything about us. They can see anything they want to see, know anything they want to know at any point in time. That stuff all exists. And it's like, man, how does that happen? Well, here was these Jews, and they said, you're the Son of the living God. Do you realize how hard that was for them to get to that place? Because he was a fisherman. Yeah, they knew him. He just came along and helped them fish. He said, "I'll make you fishers of men." But the deal was, there was the 12 of them and there was the one of him, and he was different. There was something different. And that difference spoke to them and stood out to them. Peter said, you're the Son of the living God. Now, she wasn't one of the disciples, but I want to step ahead to John chapter 11 here at this stage of the game, because we're talking about people that knew Jesus. I mean, people who really knew him. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus were some of Jesus' best friends on this earth. And when Lazarus died, Martha went out to meet Jesus. And in John chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, it reads like this. Martha had gone out to meet him. So Jesus and Martha were kind of alone. The other people hadn't caught up to him yet. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. She's saying, I receive you as Messiah. That's huge. That's a big deal. In that culture at that time. We're looking at things, you know, we have a hard enough time just sticking with our faith, and we got the whole book. We got all of history there. It's all laid out for us. We have everything. We have all the evidence or stuff to prove things, and we still struggle to believe. These guys were looking at it right in their face. And they changed. They made a paradigm shift from what they knew and what they were familiar with to say, you are Jesus, the Son of God. They knew him. They really knew him. But can I remind you that as we think about this Passion Week and as we think about the history that is a part of it, that when the heat was on, that these men, these disciples who really knew Jesus, in just a few days' time, you can read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 70, 72, and 74, where Peter denied him three times. You can read in John chapter 20 and verse 25, where Thomas doubted who he was and that he was alive. And you can read in Matthew 26, 56, that the disciples deserted him. And you can read in Mark 14, 50, that everyone, when he was arrested in the garden, everyone bailed out. The only one that was left with the arresting officers was Jesus himself. So here are the people who really knew him. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was the Son of God. But they still didn't totally understand the plan. They denied him, they doubted him, and they deserted him. That's those who knew him. Well, then there's this other group. For if you go back to our text and you read in our text there in Matthew chapter 21, you get over to verse 8. And in verse 8, it says, a very large crowd. And in verse 9, it says, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted. So now there's a crowd. There's 12 disciples who really knew him and Mary and Martha. And of course, Lazarus, you know, is back amongst the living now. But here's this crowd. Historians believe, and scholars write, that probably part of the frenzy and the gathering of this crowd has to do with the fact it's right in the aftermath of Lazarus having been raised from the dead. So how many of you know there are people that you've heard of and they come to your town or to a town nearby and they're going to appear? Maybe it's somebody who wrote a book, they're a famous author, or maybe it's a famous politician, or maybe it's a famous celebrity personality, and they're going to come to your town and you want to hear their concert or whatever. And so, you know, you think you know them. Well, I know them. And how many of us, this is a big deal now, how many of us want to get a selfie with a personality? How many of us like to drop names? You know, when I was singing back with Quartet back in 1983, I actually sang in a revival meeting that Mickey Marvin was the speaker at. Now, see, those of you that are here this morning, most of you won't even know who Mickey Marvin is. But Mickey Marvin was the left offensive tackle for the Los Angeles Raiders. He was 6'5", 265 pounds, and had two big old honking Super Bowl rings on his fingers. He was one of four Christians on a 52-man roster at the time. And he loved Jesus. He was raised in South Carolina as a Nazarene. And we had the privilege of working a revival meeting with him. And so you know, I can say I knew an NFL football player. And then you know, how many of you ever heard of Sherman Andrews? How many of you ever heard of Andrews Blackwood and Company? They used to sing contemporary gospel music. Terry Blackwood was one of the Blackwood brothers' kids. And Terry Blackwood and Sherman Andrews used to sing with the Imperials. How many of you have heard of the Imperials? Okay, well, Sherman Andrews, he's a black guy who used to sing with the Imperials. And when I first came here and we had church up on the upper stairs up there, he had gotten out of the Imperials. And Andrews Blackwood and Company had kind of ceased their traveling. And so I was trying to think of something that we could do that maybe scare up some folks, you know, for Nixa Church of the Nazarene. And I found out Sherman Andrews was living in Oklahoma City. And so I just, on a whim, I started searching for his number through the directory assistance and all that. And they gave me a number in Oklahoma City for a Sherman Andrews. And so I called it. And I could tell by the voice on the other end that this was a person of color. They just talked different, you know. And I said, Sherman Andrews. And he said, yes. I said, Sherman Andrews, you used to sing with Andrews Blackwood and Company? Yes. Sherman Andrews used to sing with the Imperials? Yes. I said, you don't know me. My name is Gary Swearens, and I pastor the Nazarene Church in Nixa, Missouri, and we're just trying to start a new mission work here. And I was wondering, I'd heard that you were maybe still doing some singing once in a while, and just on a whim, I just wondered if you'd come sing at my church. He said, I'd be glad to come sing at your church, brother. And Sherman Andrews from the Imperials and Andrews Blackwood and Company drove his Mercedes into my gravel parking lot and stuck his soundtracks into my sound system that I had upstairs, and he sang gospel music and ministered to us. And then we went to Log Cabin Pizza. He is the only black guy in the city of Nixa at that point in time. And we had pizza. And I've got pictures, just in case anybody would ever doubt that, you know. And then it wasn't very long ago, you know, it's good to know somebody who knows somebody. Because my son knew somebody who knew somebody, and Chicago was coming. How many of you know about a year ago the band Chicago was at Drury? And they did a performance. Great concert, 2 hours. They never stand still. They do a concert, will knock your socks off. And my son knew somebody who knew the drummer that was playing for them, and got his old dad backstage passes. And after the concert was over, I've got a picture of me standing with my hands and arms around the band Chicago. I can't remember their names. They don't know me. They don't care. I went in and ate snacks with them, and they don't even remember that I was there. But you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we want to drop names, or we want to say, hey, I know them. And the truth of the matter is, we don't really know them. And this crowd, there's a crowd here today, and they're trying to say, oh, I was at the tomb. I was there when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, I was over here when he healed that Phoenician woman, you know. And he, oh, yeah, oh, man, I, you know, Jesus, we're, I know who he is. John chapter 11, we find that there's a crowd hanging around. You know, this is at the point in time that he raised Lazarus from the dead. Let me take you to chapter 11, verse 19. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And then verse 31 says, when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And then verses 43 through 45, it says, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, people around, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And then if you flip on over to John chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, so the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. This is the triumphal entry passage in John. This is after Jesus has come into town. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. The whole world. But did the whole world really know Jesus personally? A good part of the world knows about Jesus today. He has a reputation. That doesn't mean they know him. And that crowd, as Jesus was coming in that day, they were throwing down cloaks, which mean that they recognized his importance and his authority. And they were throwing down palms, which is a sign of a military victory, which says they didn't really know him because they didn't know he was the Son of God. They thought he was a guy coming to bring them out of Roman oppression. They thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. They thought he was going to have a military victory, and they were no longer going to be under the rule of the Romans. That's what they thought, because they didn't really know him. And that same crowd, in a week's time, went from shouting, "Hosanna, Lord, save us," to shouting, "Crucify him, because we're just done with him. He's not going to do what we want him to do, so we're through with him. Hang him." Same people. Some of the same crowd. Because they thought they knew him, but they didn't really know him. And then there were those who wanted to know him, or the truth of the matter is probably more accurately wanted to know about him. Because we read in that passage in verse 10 in Matthew chapter 21, they ask this question. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, so this is the whole city of Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" So everybody who's in Jerusalem was saying, who is this Jesus guy? Well, you know, that's really a pretty good starting place. If we could get the whole city of Nixa to say, "Who's this Jesus guy?" we could tell them. We could introduce them. And this question has been going on for quite some time, even with some of the people who we talked about knowing Jesus Christ, because we can go back to Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 39 through 41, it says, "He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this?' Even the wind and the waves obey." You see, it's very early in his ministry. It's very early in the 3 years. Right up at the front end. And first thing, after, you know, a miraculous catch of fish, and they're in the boat, and there's a storm. And these guys are fishermen. They've been in lots of storms. This one has had them pretty shook up. And Jesus is asleep. That's how worried he was. And he yawns, shakes his head and says, "Peace, be still." And the lake lays down. And these guys who are at the beginning of getting to know Jesus go, "Who is this guy?" But I'm thinking, if you're one of the disciples in that boat at that point in time, you're not only saying, "Who is this guy?" but you're saying, "I'm going to hang with him." Because when the storms of life come, he knocks them down. He just speaks to them. He has authority over them. And they spent the next 3 years of their life reaching a point of knowing him. But there's another account that we read about in Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 49, where it says, "Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but the woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And the other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins? Who is this? We want to know about him. This is something else. We've never seen this before. This guy's not like anybody else we've ever seen.' And then a guy that we know very well. We remember him as Paul, but he started out as Saul. He's on the Damascus Road, headed out to kill Christians. In verses 14 and 15 of chapter 26 of the book of Acts, we read this testimony. "We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, Why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And then I ask, who are you, Lord? Isn't that funny? Who are you, Lord? He answered his own question. And how many times have we seen in the history of the Word where Jesus shows up and people know who he is? Even before he spent time here on the earth. How about those three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? How many people do you see in there? I see four. The three that we threw in there and one like the Son of God. How'd they know that? How'd they know what the Son of God looks like? What about the guy who was full of demons? He knew who Jesus was as soon as he saw him. The demons recognized Jesus. Even the demons recognize and tremble, but the demons are going to hell. See, knowing about Jesus doesn't cut it. Knowing Jesus' reputation, that's not where it's at. Every one of us has to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where we accept him as the divine, virgin-born Son of God. The only way for our sins to be forgiven, the only way into heaven. And so my question to you this morning is, do you know my Jesus? And as you think about these three groups of people who were a part of what was going on that Palm Sunday, what group do you fit into? Are you some of those who know him personally as Savior and Lord of your life? Or are you just one of those people who know about Jesus? You think you know Jesus, but you just really kind of know about him. You're just kind of acquainted with his reputation. Or are you indeed maybe one of those people who just say, I've heard of him. I really don't know the guy at all. I'm interested in learning more about him, but I don't know him. What group do you fit into this morning? See, I can't answer that question for you. You're the only person who can answer that question. I can look at you and I could do an evaluation. I could write every one of your names down on a piece of paper and I could write down which group I think you're part of. But I might be wrong. You know, because just going to church regularly doesn't mean we really know Jesus. Paying our tithe doesn't mean that we really know Jesus. You know, doing good deeds doesn't necessarily mean that we really know Jesus. And there are people that I've heard stories about that if you would have asked me, I would have said, oh man, that person's saved and sanctified, and buddy, they're on track. And I've heard them testify later to coming into revival meetings or other situations where they just said, I finally gave up because I'd never really asked Jesus in my heart. Been in the church my whole life, done the churchy stuff. I've been religious, but I never really accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Never really confessed that I was a sinner and asked me to forgive me of my sins. You know, the deal is, it's not about being religious. It's about having a relationship. You can do anything religiously. You can eat beans religiously. That won't get you to heaven. Because religion doesn't get you to heaven. But knowing Jesus Christ personally, receiving him as our Savior, accepting him as the Son of God, that gets us into heaven. And so what group are you a part of this morning? Would you just bow your heads and pray with me this morning and ask God to look into your heart? And I don't want to de-Christianize anybody. I want to celebrate everybody who knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But I also don't want anybody going out of here that doesn't know Jesus Christ. I want to make sure that we're not just being religious, but that we truly have come to a place to receive him as our personal Savior. And so I want you to pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for the Word. We thank you for history and the fact that it's been recorded so that we can see how you interacted with men. And Lord, today we want you to interact with us right here on March 20th, 2016. We want you to create history, a moment of history, where every one of us figure out how we know you. And Lord, this morning we just ask you to look into our hearts And help us before we leave here today to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we indeed believe you are the divine Son of God and that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And we receive you into our heart and life. We confess our sin to you and we receive you, Lord Jesus. I want us to stand this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. These altars are open. We're not going to play any music. I just want to ask you the question, do you know my Jesus? And if you're here this morning and if for any reason at all you think there's anything that might stand between you and your relationship with God, that might stand between you and a home in heaven, I just invite you to make your way down to an altar and just make those things right with God. We enjoyed the first four nights of this week, the messages of the simulcast. We heard a lot of good stuff on a lot of good subjects. And we heard about people in 31 states and two Canadian provinces that were making decisions for Christ as they heard those challenges. My question this morning is, do you know my Jesus? Have you received him? Have you accepted him? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to leave this earth today, that heaven is going to be your home? Because you can. You can know that. Doesn't have to be a question mark. If you don't know that, this is the morning where you ought to seal the deal. Because you can. Anybody like that? Anybody the place just needs a place to pray this morning? All right, I trust you. And that's kind of what I thought looking around this crowd. But you know, you never know for sure. Let's go out this week. You know, this is one of the greatest opportunities in the Christian calendar. This is Passion Week. We have the opportunity to probably talk to people about Jesus this week in a way that maybe they wouldn't let us talk to them any other time because Easter's coming. And you can invite them to breakfast. And if you can get them to breakfast, we'll feed them a strawberry or something, then we'll feed them the gospel. And we'll celebrate the resurrection. And so if you've got friends that don't have a place to go to church, you ask them to come here with you. And we'll do our best to tell them the truth. And they can celebrate with us this coming week. We want to take advantage of the opportunities that God indeed gives to every one of us. He's a wonderful Lord. He helps us all along the way. Sister Pam Garten, pray a closing prayer for us, please.